Governor Doug Ducey has already reshaped the Arizona Supreme Court, having been given the opportunity to appoint four of the current seven justices. Most recently, he chose Judge James Bean from a list to succeed retiring Justice John Polander. And the governor will get a fifth choice when Chief Justice Scott Bales, the panel's only Democrat appointed by Governor Janet Napolitano, retires this summer. Bales is leaving the bench well before the required retirement age of 70. His next job will be as executive director of the Advancement of the American Legal System at the University of Denver. And Chief Justice Bales is with me to talk about his career as a justice and an attorney. Chief, what's the current condition of Arizona's judicial system, and what are the most significant changes you've seen?
Well, I think the state of the courts in Arizona is generally good, and what has changed, although this isn't a break from tradition, is the courts are thinking of various ways that we can better serve those who come to the courts to resolve their disputes and to protect their rights. And it goes to things like people now increasingly want to have remote access to various services. Mm-hmm. People want to be able to do things after normal work hours. We serve a very diverse community, and we need to be able to make information available in more than just one language. And I think Arizona's courts have made substantial progress in those kinds of efforts to just better afford access to people across our state.
There have been times over the years, and sometimes, let's say, a poor relationship between the legislative branch and the judicial branch. How would you talk about what the relationship is now, and are there ways that you would like to see it more consistently improved?
Well, I think generally the relationship is good. I think it has improved. In some ways, it's easier to have amiable relations when the legislature is not faced with dealing with an unprecedented recession.
Okay.
They were put in the position of making some decisions that were challenged in court, and some of those challenges were successful, and that I think might have strained relationships. I think, though, more broadly, it is important that the branches respect each other's distinct roles and recognize that it's inevitable with a system of separated powers that people sometimes have different views, and that creates a bit of tension, and that's meant to occur in our system. On the other hand, the relationships should be respectful and friendly, and I think we've made gains in that regard. And over the last several years, one thing that in particular I think has been helpful is that the legislature, by the leadership of the president and the speaker, have hosted a Judiciary Day at the legislature where judges come down and have an opportunity to shadow individual members of the legislature. We also reciprocate. There is an opportunity for legislators who are interested to go and shadow judges in different courts around the state. And I think that is very healthy. I think once people realize that in the different branches, you're talking about individuals who are dedicated to public service and their roles, it makes it easier to get along as opposed to just talking about abstractions, some anonymous judge or some unidentified legislator.
When the U.S. Supreme Court makes a decision these days, people watch closely to see, is it going to be 5-4 or whatnot? And I only bring this up because, of course, the headlines are that you are the only remaining Democrat on the Arizona Supreme Court, and you'll be retiring this summer. It's never seemed like an especially politicized court to me. Is that the truth? And if so, how is that maintained, even when you consider how many people register with a party for a reason? So how is it that a different sort of balance has been able to be maintained to this point?
Yeah, I'm somewhat bemused when I hear people comment that I'm the only Democrat on our court. And I say that because when I was appointed in 2005 by Governor Napolitano, we then had a five-justice court, and I replaced a justice who was a Republican, and the number of justices as a result went from three Republicans, two Democrats, to three Democrats, two Republicans. But no one could discern any pattern that resulted in terms of how the votes came out. And in fact, for the entire 14 years I've been on the court, there's never been a consistent sort of breakdown of people from one party vote this way, people from one party vote another. And even there hasn't been much of a consistent pattern in terms of those justices who vote together. And I think that actually is a healthy thing. I think on our court, regardless of what a justice's political affiliation has been, people have been very committed to trying to decide the cases consistent with the law, based on the facts that are presented.
So since you mentioned that you started, there were five justices, we know there are seven now. Was there a need? And if so, is there a feeling that it has really not changed things all that dramatically?
Whether there was a need very much depends on what your criteria might be for evaluating a court. There was not a need in the sense that we had a pressing caseload that we were not able to keep up with. In fact, increasing the size of the court, at least in the short term, has had a bit of an effect of making us slower. Not hugely so, but some. Some of the people that argued in favor of expanding the court observed that most other states, certainly most other states of our size, have seven justice courts, and Arizona's court had remained at five since the late 1940s, even though the state's population had grown considerably. That's an accurate observation. Another argument was that by enlarging the court, there'd be an opportunity for more diversity among the justices in various dimensions, where people come from, their own personal background and characteristics, their experience prior to joining our court. Mm-hmm. And I think that is true. The transition itself has gone smoothly. We've had outstanding people appointed to the court who, like their predecessors, have been committed to collegially trying to resolve the issues that come before us.
Why did you want to become a finalist in the first place? And then when, I know it's been a while, but when Governor Napolitano let you know that you were going to be, or one of her people let you know, how excited were you? I mean, has it been what you wanted it to be?
For my own career, I hadn't certainly thought that someday I'd be on the state Supreme Court, much less Chief Justice. But I had done different things. I'd practiced for 20 years in Arizona before I sought to become a judge. I was both a lawyer in private practice. I was a federal prosecutor. I worked in the Arizona Attorney General's office as our state's Solicitor General. And in that role, I was regularly before the Arizona Supreme Court and also other appellate courts. The Solicitor General is essentially the state's top appellate lawyer. And I found that what I really found most interesting and stimulating was working on complicated legal issues, writing about them, thinking about them. And when there was a vacancy on the Arizona Supreme Court, some friends encouraged me to apply, and I thought about it, and it sounded like a job where I could contribute and that it would be very rewarding. And I really underestimated how much I would love the job and in how many ways I think a person who has the opportunity to serve as a judge can contribute to justice.
Chief Justice Scott Bales, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Chief Justice Bales' last day on the Arizona Supreme Court is July 31st.